Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two updates each week on this channel. On Sundays, our messages premiere at 1 p.m., and then on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. The title of my message today is number 373, Mustard Seed Faith. We could also call this Mustard Seed Prophecy, as we'll be continuing our exploration of the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Now, as the name of our podcast implies, our podcasts typically have a prophecy thread. We love answering questions regarding prophecy. In fact, if you have a question on prophecy or any question on the Bible or theology, just send us an email at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. In fact, that's how we get a lot of, especially our Wednesday updates. So today we're going to take a look, and we're going to see a man who loves his son, and he brings his son, who is an epileptic, to the disciples of Jesus for healing. And we'll find that the cause of this illness of the son is actually demonic. We'll also see that Jesus' disciples, who have been with Jesus for by 3 years by now, are unable to help the man or help the son. And then we'll see Jesus, who not only immediately dispatches the demon and heals the boy, but then Jesus reminds us, and I think this is the key to today's teaching, he reminds us of a parable that he told earlier, and that is the parable of the mustard seed. So that, again, that's the title of my message today, number 373, The Mustard Seed Faith. We're going to read a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, a total of 8 verses, verses 14 through 21, and then we'll begin to kind of unpack the elements, including the man, his son, the disciples, this demon, and again, Jesus' response and the parable of the mustard seed. So starting now in Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. And then they had come to a multitude. A man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you had the faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." So we'll start off unpacking this, and we'll start off with the man and his son. Now, many believe that the key learning here is that there's a demon here that's just too tough for the disciples to handle. And now, that's part of the story for sure, but it's not the main point. The disciples were not able to heal the boy, and it appears Jesus is actually a little disappointed with him as you read the story because of their lackluster faith. But the key here is the man and the boy. You see, the faith that we have, this faith is about serving others. Jesus told his disciples, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, be the servant of all. When Jesus departed from this earth, he told his disciples to go and bring the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all of the things that he had taught his disciples. You see, our faith, my friends, is not for our exclusive benefit, but it's for the for the benefit of others. As I mentioned in the preface, we know that this man loved his son, and he brought the boy to the disciples because of the demonic activity. We read the companion account of this encounter in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Let me read it to you. It says, "And behold, a man from the crowd shouted, saying, 'Teacher, I beg you to look upon my son, because he is an only born son to me.'" You see how he loves him? "And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out, and it convulses him along with foam at the mouth, and it departs from him with difficulty while bruising him." So this encounter starts with a need. And it's a need that the father has to make sure that his son, his only son, is cared for. He came to Jesus to fill the need because the disciples weren't able to do it. Now, you know, all people, all groups have needs. The Jews wanted to overthrow the Romans. They were looking for a Messiah that would be able to do that. Herod wanted to see Jesus because he wanted to see Jesus do some kind of a magic trick. Pilate found no fault in Jesus, but Pilate feared the crowd and had Jesus crucified. You see, everybody's serving their own interests. You know, Jesus wasn't interested in satisfying these desires. He was always, always focused on the spiritual needs of the people. Notice that this man asked for his son. He says, "Have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic." You know, the prophet Jeremiah told us in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, he says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." You know, God demonstrated his love for us through his mercy. It was because of God's mercy that Jesus turned his face towards Calvary. And Jesus embraced death on the cross. However, because of the steadfast love, he defeated death. And his purpose was to provide access to God for us. You see, this was never about Jesus. This was always about us. You know, me, who may feel like a super Christians on Sunday in your local church, singing worship songs, being in prayer, meditation, just being with all of God's people. You know, it's easy to feel that way. And while worship and church attendance and prayer is all good, there's nothing wrong with it, our purpose, our true purpose, is never to escape from the world and spend our days in church, but to be used by God, to meet the needs of the people. The true hope of the world is the church, and it's because the church points people to Jesus. Now, we do this by being attentive to the people around us, the needs of the people, and we pray, and we listen to God, and we are, if hopefully we're brave enough to be able to confront our fears and to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. Sometimes we need to confront the enemy of the faith, the devil himself, and his demonic horde. You know, the disciples, talk about feeling super, the disciples likely felt like super disciples when they're sitting at the feet of Jesus, basking in his glory, basking in his light, sitting at his feet. But Jesus was training them to meet the needs of others. He was training them to be sent out. So let's look now at why the disciples weren't able to help the man or his son. Remember, the man said, "I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." You know, previously, on a number of occasions, the disciples were able to cast out demons. This time, however, they failed. And the question is why? Well, the reason, I believe, along with what Jesus said about the lack of faith, is given to us by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6. This is the passage that talks about the armor of God. Because Paul says this, he says in verse 12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You know, Paul is telling us that not all demons are the same. There are obviously or evidently ranks of demonic powers, and where evidently some are stronger. By stronger, we mean that they're more stubborn. They're more resistant than others. You know, there are going to be times when we face resistance from the enemy. Often that resistance will be felt when we're ministering to those that we love. We're ministering to our family. This man loved his son, but the man's love was not enough. He brought the man to the disciples, and the disciples tried, but they were unable to cast the demon out. The disciples were not prepared for this demonic power. What was needed was the steadfast love of God that brings the mercy of God to overcome whatever situation is that we're facing. That's why Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you'd be able to speak to the mountain. You know, the disciples failed, but failure always brings us a lesson. The lesson is the disciples needed to be more like Jesus. They needed to allow their faith to grow and develop. Now that brings us to the point where Jesus mentions the mustard seed. Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, in mentioning the mustard seed, Jesus is reminding them of one of the many parables that he taught. You see, often we see the same parable in the Bible more than once. Sometimes it's in another gospel, or in this case, it's actually mentioned twice. The same parable is mentioned twice in the Gospel of Matthew. Did you know that the Bible says that Jesus always, that word always, spoke in parables? Now, that always is a Hebrew hyperbole, meaning that it's an intentional exaggeration. But the point is this, is that the primary way that Jesus taught was through these parables. Now, I've counted them. There's between 50 and 55 parables, maybe as many as 59, 60, depending on how you count. That means that these disciples likely heard the same parable, the parable of the mustard seed, possibly dozens of times, because this is the way that Jesus taught. And as Jesus traveled, he met new people, and he would tell them the same parables because they were powerful. Jesus taught in parables, the Bible says, because they provide a glimpse of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, in this parable of the mustard seed, the Lord is saying that there is no apparent connection between the smallness of something and what it turns out to be. The smallness of the mustard seed, which is one of the smallest of all the seeds, compared to the mustard plant. It's actually a very large bush, grows as high as 15 to 25 feet. So large that the mustard seed bush actually looks like a tree. You can plant a seed of wheat, you can plant a seed of wheat or corn, and you get a 4 foot high result, maybe three. You plant this seed, this mustard seed, and you could have a bush that's 15 to 25 feet high. High enough that horses can actually walk underneath it. Higher than you can even hope or imagine. And this is exactly Jesus' point. Let's take a look at the last line of today's passage. Jesus said, however, in speaking about the demonic possessions or demonic horde, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You see, now, hopefully, the disciples get it. I think we get it as well. The disciples are still sitting at the feet of Jesus. They have been with him for 3 years, but they're still the disciples. They're not yet the master. Jesus is on his way to Calvary. This is late in the ministry of Jesus. Within just a few chapters, it'll be Easter week. Jesus will be riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Jesus is on his way to the cross. The disciples will be called at that time to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the Great Commission. The purpose of their faith is not for their own edification, their own blessing, but it's the spirit. Their spiritual walk is to the ends of the earth for the benefit of others. My friends, the enemy is out there. Some of the demons that are out there are the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're the spiritual wickedness in high places. And it's through prayer. It's through prayer and fasting, being in the Word of God, consistently walking with Jesus, that a mustard seed faith grows. Jesus came that we may grow. And Jesus is saying, while our faith may be small, so small it's like a mustard seed, we are all part of the same body of Christ. You know, this is the, you're listening to the Prophecy Countdown, our channel on prophecy. So allow me to close with a prophetic look from the book of Revelation. You know, ultimately, all of the promises of God that were made to the people of Israel will be fulfilled during the millennial kingdom. This is one of the primary teachings I have in my book called The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You know, the millennial kingdom is a period of 1,000 years when Jesus reigns over the entire earth, and that's coming. In fact, it says in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and I'll end with this scripture verse, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You see, my friends, that is the end result of the mustard seed. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for these opportunities.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Bear's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming 7-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Bear. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Bear. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.